You are listening to episode 103 of the FitzPro podcast. This was not planned. It is a stream of consciousness more than like a get out your pen and paper and you're going to take notes type of episode. It is a conversation, one of which I am very much so still in the middle of. I expect to evolve in this conversation. I expect to change my perspective in this conversation. So take it for what it's worth. But today's episode is all about crying, emotions, personalities, and running a business amidst all of that. So you're in for a ride. Without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitzPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. So as I mentioned, this podcast was not planned. The episode was not planned, but it is inspired by a little minor breakdown that I had the other day. And when I say minor breakdown, I literally mean I let one tear roll down my left cheek before wiping it up and moving on. Now, as you can imagine, I think it's very important that we set the stage for this conversation, for this discussion. I don't even know if there are going to be legitimate takeaways from this episode, but if anything, it will likely strike a conversation within your own brain. Whether that's helpful or not is yet to be determined. So after posting about the fact that I had some pretty strong and what seemed like out of nowhere emotions the other day, I had several conversations with females in my DMs on Instagram. So here we are, because if I'm having conversations in my direct messages with several different women, it's probably worth addressing that topic on the podcast for the rest of you. Okay, back to setting the stage. This conversation would be led very differently depending on the personality, the background, and the perspective that is behind the words of the person leading it, right? In this case, that person is me. I am an Enneagram 8 Wing 9, an ISTJ A on the Myers-Briggs, or 16 personality types, which is defined as a logistician. An ISTJ is the logistician, and I am a questioner with upholder tendencies from Gretchen Rubin's Four Tendencies Test, aka I like and thrive off of logic, facts, system, proven strategy, and I like structure, but a primary value of mine is also freedom. I am slow to trust, but very loyal once I do, and I question literally everything, including myself. Yet, through the Enneagram 8 in me, I would say that I have an unusually high trust in my gut and my intuition, and I am intrinsically motivated. I do not require outward accountability to get something done if I want to get something done. There is the personality type behind and the brain behind the microphone in this conversation. I think that's very, very important to keep in mind when listening to my thoughts and perspective on this. You can already see from that personality type that I am likely not a person who tends towards emotion in general, let alone using emotion to make decisions. I can come off as brash, direct, cold, all really great things, you know? And I'm also not one for using your personality as a crutch or an excuse. Like, being an Enneagram 8 is not an excuse to be a dick or an asshole. It's just not. So while a lot of the things I just listed are strengths. They can also be weaknesses or can lean towards weaknesses depending on my emotional intelligence, my level of health, my awareness, all of these things. For instance, I don't empathize very well, which is something I can absolutely work on. I get uncomfortable around emotions, including my own. I joked in my Instagram story the other day that I rarely cry. Like, we're talking, it's even once a year or so. And therefore, when I do cry, it's like I'm processing two different perspectives. From one perspective, I'm like the person that feels awkward when other people cry. You know, like the, oh my gosh, what is happening? What do I do? Please stop. This is weird. Do I put my arm around you? Do I rub your back? Do I just sit here? There's this whole internal dialogue when I cry. So I'm that person to myself, analyzing the situation, just trying to get a grasp on it. And then, of course, I am the person who is having the emotional response of crying. Because I do not cry often, when I do, my first reaction is to ask why it's happening and to find a solution. I don't cry. So if I'm crying, something must be wrong, which means there's a solution and we need to find the solution. I hope we're all getting a very clear visual understanding of what is happening inside my body and brain on a physiological level when Annie Miller has the urge to cry. Hopefully that's becoming clear to you. And all of that was to simply help you understand who is leading the conversation. I hope that is very, very clear at this point. So as with narratives around money or relationships or self-worth, we all pick up a narrative of some kind around emotions and crying from our childhood. This is only natural. The narrative that I picked up as a child, to whoever's fault it is, was that crying is weakness. Those are synonymous with one another. It's that simple. I logically know this is not true in my adulthood now, but we can logically know things and still revert back to childhood narratives. Am I right? Is anyone relating to this? Truthfully, because I don't cry very often, I don't revisit or address this narrative until I have the urge to cry over something unidentifiable. And I guess that's super, super important to note as well. I can cry during a movie and I know why I'm crying. I can cry when Nate eats food that I left in the fridge for myself and understand why I'm crying. I'm sure you can relate to that. You were expecting your bagel or your leftovers after your workout and then someone ate them. The rage is real, and rage can lead to tears, right? When I get tripped up, especially when in relation to entrepreneurship, it's when I don't feel in control, like my body is ramping up on a physiological level, like I get super sympathetic, and I don't understand why from a logical standpoint. I don't think I'm stressed. I don't feel overly frustrated about anything. There's no precursor emotion that I can identify in the moment. So how the heck does all of this relate to business? We're getting there. Like I said, this was not planned, so I appreciate you sticking around for this internal narrative processing dialogue, whatever. Here goes the stream of consciousness. I can't make any promises. When I cry related to business, it is typically from a sense of overwhelm or lack of control. This makes sense for my personality type. I very much so enjoy control and freedom and structure and seeing the plan. That's when I feel most stable. So I am going to ask you now to think about your personality type and what most often causes you to ramp up and get really sympathetic or straight up cry in your business. And when I'm saying sympathetic, I'm talking about central nervous system, wound up, versus parasympathetic in winding down. What are the precursor emotions that you tend to feel before you start crying or not enjoying the way that you are feeling in your body? Unstable, for instance. I feel very unstable when I am about to cry or when I feel things ramping up and I can't quite identify why. Is it when someone says something negative about your service? Is it when a client doesn't follow protocol? Is it when you feel like you have way too much on your plate and you don't know how to choose what is a top priority? Is it when you've put hours into content of some kind and it doesn't perform well? And you might think that some of those sound silly. And maybe, you know, a one-off situation, it would be silly, but these things can compound and then blow up. It's not the first thing that happened, it's the 500 before that. It's the pile that's building. And I think that gaining awareness with how your personality interacts with your business can be one of the best tools to learn as an entrepreneur. So while I didn't cry the other day because of business in any sense, it just got me thinking and having conversations about emotions and running a business. Again, that is how we got here. Take time to think about when you feel unstable in your business and how you can either negate or mitigate that with having awareness of your triggers, of you speeding up or getting disorganized or whatever it may be for your personality type. What sets you off? It could be that your personality values freedom and feels very restricted by structure. So we know that if you are entering a season where there's going to be a lot of structure placed on you, where you're going to have deadlines and things of that sort, we need to prioritize free time or freedoms within that structure. I hope that's making sense. This is kind of the picture that I'm talking about here. Let's circle back to narratives around crying or being quote unquote emotional. Because we all have different definitions of what is a normal level of emotion and expression and what is too much or too little. This is very subjective. I would say in business, it is frowned upon to be emotional, whatever that definition is. That's a very general blanket statement, and you need to be very careful how you take and interpret that. I don't think that being an entrepreneur is only for one personality type. However, I do think that being analytical, strategic, intrinsically motivated, and driven by structure have been a huge contributing factor in the success of my business, if you want to call it that. I am not easily shaken by issues or things not being successful. As you can see from the crying, my gut reaction to things is to find a solution and move forward. But that doesn't mean that more emotional people can't run a successful business. Remember that all businesses are not built the same, and like health and fitness, there is not a one-size-fits-all approach. There is not a one-personality-fits-all approach for business. With that, businesses do need structure and profit and loss, and to track numbers and to have systems in place, especially if they're going to be scalable and repeatable. That fact is less important than knowing yourself as an entrepreneur. Do you need to hire a coach or buy a course to help you do those things if those things are not natural for you? I don't know. That's up to you. My point is know your personality and then fill gaps however you see fit that complete your business and work with your personality. And in all of this, I think no matter if you are someone who feels a lot of things and needs to release those feelings or not, the more emotionally intelligent and aware we can be as business owners and leaders, the better. And I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm saying we're all in this together. A perfect example of this is the fact that I use a weekly and monthly journal that is very emotional and mental health centered, because that's a very easy area for me to not address and remain aware of. It's very easy for me to push those things aside, which is not healthy as a business owner. So I need a resource, an outside resource, to help me stay aware of where I'm at emotionally and mentally, or I will just keep trudging forward and disregard all of the feelings. That's natural for me. I have to work on that part of me. And I recognize that that is very valuable to my business. So hopefully that example makes sense. I say that with the understanding as well that just because someone is more emotional does not necessarily mean that they are more emotionally stable or healthy. And that's what I'm getting at. And on the vice versa of that, I think that you can have a seemingly stoic person who is also not emotionally aware or stable, and maybe they lash out or fly off the handle, but otherwise they seem very stoic. That's not healthy. Nor is a person who has highs and lows with emotion and makes decisions based on those highs and lows. So I want to make very clear, this is not a one or the other is healthy or not healthy or good or bad. I think the point here is knowing yourself and operating your business in a way that makes sense for you and increases your emotional intelligence and awareness of yourself. And let's also be very clear, note that this spans men and women both. All of the humans in business, I think that being quote unquote emotional in business is looked down upon or has a stigma because it can seem or feel unstable. And businesses need stability, systems, predictability, etc. And if the leader of that company does not emulate these things or hire a team that fills these gaps, I think that that can feel or seem dangerous for a consumer or even as someone who is being hired onto that team, right? Our emotional intelligence and health really is going to permeate the culture of our businesses. So, no jumping down my throat here. This is a simple hypothesis, and I'm not saying that this is a fact, that being emotional is unstable in your business, or that that's even truth. I'm just saying it's a possible perspective of the consumer and people coming into your business, that if the owner of the business or the, you know, leaders of the business don't seem stable, that can feel dangerous for someone coming in purchasing from the company and or wanting to be a part of that company. This is a perspective that I am hypothesizing. That's all I'm saying. I'm also not saying that we need to walk around like robots, quite the opposite. I simply think that having emotions and allowing yourself to have emotions is wonderful. It is part of the human experience in the most literal way, and I don't think that business is detached from that. I think we do business as humans. I just think it's an and situation. Can we have emotions, honor those emotions, recognize those emotions, and make logical decisions as the leader of our company and business? That's the question. So again, this was very much so a not put together stream of consciousness. I think that it will start conversations. I hope that it starts a conversation, again, just even in your own mind and awareness as a business owner, maybe some of the biases that we hold towards emotions in business. I know that obviously I do. What narratives do we believe from childhood? All of the things, just explore the things for yourself. So that's all I have to say about crying and emotions and personality. Now, I would like to take a moment to thank the sponsor of this podcast, the number one brand of all natural sports supplements in the world, Legion Athletics. I would not pair with literally any brand that I did not use myself and back. Legion are my people. Beyond the supplements themselves being great, I freaking love that they are scientifically backed ingredients and dosages. So you can go to their site, look at each product, look at the scientific studies for the ingredients used, for the dosages used. It's just all about transparency, and you know I'm all about transparency. They're 100% naturally sweetened and flavored, so there's just no extra crap. It's straightforward. What you see is what you get. I have another shipment on the way personally, but my favorites so far have been just the classic whey chocolate protein. Nate likes the plant protein. He is much more sensitive to whey than I am, but I do think the fruity cereal whey protein is going to take the top spot against the chocolate. The cinnamon cereal is also freaking delicious. The Pulse non-stim pre-workout is amazing. I believe the stim one has more caffeine than I would want, so you could totally cut that in half. But anyway, I could talk about their supplements all day. I freaking love it. I have yet to try their protein and nootropic, but I plan on doing that and I will report back. Go to buylegion.com and use code Annie at checkout to save 20% on your first order, and you'll get double Legion reward loyalty points if you are an existing customer. Finally, if you love this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review plus a written review. It is so appreciated, you guys. Remember that I choose a reviewer of the week and then a listener of the month who gets 50% off any non-membership program of mine plus a freebie from Frey Skincare. Go to freyskincare.com/FDBA to save at least 15% on any of their products. And if you're not on my main mailing list, what even are you doing? There's exclusive podcast listener discounts, and you can choose if you want Annie's weekly wrap or Annie's daily dose or both, and you just want to get it all. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for listening to the FitzPro Podcast.